Warren the Buffett.
Huh.
He bought 75 million Apple shares during the quarter one 2018. His net, yeah.
40, he likes Apple.
He's got $42 billion worth of Apple stock. He loves Apple.
Yeah.
It's like Blue Horseshoe loves Anacott. Loves Apple. Loves Anacott Steel, right?
Yes, yeah, that's right. Right.
Okay. So at a recent thing, here's Charlie Munger, Bill Gates, and Warren Buffett talking about your favorite subject.
Yeah.
Listen, you want to watch this. Listen. And you can stop
Bitcoin
it
is worthless artificial gold.
There, that's
which
enough
said. Succeeded would facilitate a lot of illicit activity. Now, that is not something I think the world needs. And the fact that it's clever computer science doesn't mean that it should be widely used and that respectable people should encourage other people to speculate in it. Hmm. Bitcoin reminds me of Oscar Wilde's definition of fox hunting, the pursuit of the uneatable by the unspeakable.
Well, that sounds better than what he used before.
We asked earlier, Charlie, Andrew brought it up with Warren, but...
I think it's a scumball activity. Ooh. Does that better serve you better?
Thank you. Yeah. We asked earlier about Goldman Sachs getting into the business of having a trading desk for Bitcoin. Berkshire Hathaway owns about $2.5 billion of Goldman Sachs. Does it bother you or does it not surprise you? Just...
Well, I don't expect every investment bank to agree with everything I think. They have a lot of animal spirits in investment banking.
Bill, Charlie and Warren have weighed in on Bitcoin. Do you own any?
She's asking Bill Gates. Bill Gates.
Somebody gave me some for my birthday. And then
you can't figure out how to sell it.
Hey, I'm going to sell that. So no.
So they all laugh.
There's some really good technology in terms of sharing databases.
Bill, let me stop Bill for a second.
Verifying transactions.
Bill, you know, that was a dumb move. What'd you sell it for?
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? Okay.
There's some really good technology in terms of sharing.
Go ahead, Adam.
Because the appearance of impropriety is sometimes as bad as impropriety itself. And as Munger, I think, is trying to point out, and Warren has made a point of, this material, cryptocurrency, is primarily used by people who want to evade regulation and hide from taxation.
But isn't, you know, let me play devil's advocate here.
It's like cash.
I'm not a fan of Bitcoin, but isn't that, it could be very much just a soundbite that the globalists, the boys that don't like Bitcoin are using, because nobody really knows how much is used for illicit activity.
Yes, come on.
No, really.
Oh, get out. Patrick.
They don't know.
Oh, please.
How would you know?
Look at the entire Silk Road operation. The drug dealers have found a new way to get their illicit profits across borders without any regulation to clean it. And to keep it clean, it's lovely for that.
No, I totally
And to suggest that it's not being used for that
purpose.
No,
I'm not saying it's not,
that's
Andrew.
That's the
but
primary use of cryptocurrency.
Yeah, so I don't know if anybody can prove the word primary, though.
Yeah.
Can you?
Well, I bet you could.
Okay. Yeah. All right, let's continue.
There's some really good technology in terms of sharing databases and verifying transactions that is talked about as blockchain. That is a good thing.
Yes.
Bitcoin and ICOs, I agree completely. It's one of the crazier speculative things where it's not, as an asset class, you're not producing anything. And so you shouldn't expect it to go up. It's kind of a pure greater fool theory type investment. I agree. I would short it if there was an easy way to do it.
One of the interesting things, if people react when you criticize their investment, if they get mad, they're gambling.
This is great.
Yeah, if somebody criticizes Apple or Berkshire, we like it. I mean, if the stock goes down, we'll buy more of it. We don't care whether it's just, we don't feel that it has anything to do with it. But if we criticize something that they own because they only want it to go up tomorrow, they feel we are hurting them. and therefore they get very upset about it. If they really like what they own, what difference would it make?
You know? That's right.
You know, that's a great point, because it is the idea. If you criticize it, and these Bitcoin people get angry, and they do.
Oh man, I was branded a Luddite how long ago?
They do, because they are gambling, and it is gambling. But the point, but it's all gambling at some point. I mean, even if you buy Apple, you're still betting that they're going to keep doing what they're going to doing. Isn't all investing gambling? I mean, if you buy gold, you're still gambling. I mean,
Of course, all investing is gambling.
Yeah, right,
I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are fundamental reasons for gold to rise in value.
Of course, of course.
And the two comments that I liked, that I thought were funny, Charlie Munger said, suppose you could make a lot of money trading freshly harvested baby brains. Would you do it?
Did he say that?
Bitcoin is almost as bad, he said, yeah. And then Buffett said that Bitcoin is rat poison squared.
Oh, man. Ugh. Well, I'm glad you're back listening live. We got internet issue for about 5 minutes, but we're back, and you'll get the whole podcast. But no,
we discovered all the secrets of the universe while you were gone.
That's right. No, we did actually, and we made some big trades that we're going to tell you about. But check this out, though. So here's one thing. Once again, Andrew, I am not a Bitcoin kind of person. I wouldn't buy it. But isn't it fair to even conjecture that the boys that don't like Bitcoin, right, the dollar people,
they're threatening their game.
Well, of course. And then isn't it also fair to say that the Mungers of the world, Charlie Mungers and Bill Gates, they're part of the boys. So for them to say anything good about Bitcoin would be stupid.
Yeah. Okay. Well, understand that Bitcoin is better than a Federal Reserve note.
What's that? Say that again.
Okay, so if you look at the things that that the Bitcoin people tell you to trust them for,
right?
That there's fixed supply,
right?
That there's no central authority that manipulates, right? That
is better.
Makes it better. It's the same, but better. In other words, there's no substance behind it. There's no productivity. There's no value per se, except the one that the marketplace attaches to it. But it's better than the fiat money system that we're using today.
That's what the cryptomaniacs argue.
Correct.
Because they say there is a limited supply, and there is, to be fair. Well, they could change it. There is a limited supply of 21 million. And also...
But trust us, we're not going to change.
Oh, no, totally. I get that.
So, and Jefferson just said, let's not hear about the honor of men. Let's just bind them with the chains of the Constitution. No state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debt. So this way, no one person controls it. No individual can manipulate its price or value. Any person is as likely to find gold in their yard as you are. And this is why the boys hate it as much as they do. So it's safe to say that the boys, the people that control the current money system, hate gold. They hate it with a passion. The same way they hate Bitcoin and anything that threatens their well-being and their ability to make money from making money is to them horrible. And Bitcoin's certainly in that category. So if I were given the choice between, okay, we're going to have a blockchain-based Bitcoin currency or a centralized Federal Reserve system, I would see the merits in a Bitcoin-based system. And as I think this is the point Gates was trying to make, that, you know, the transparency that comes with it, the knowing.
The speed.
So the ability to conduct transactions, that's all good, which is why I predicted in the beginning that the Bitcoin technology will simply be hijacked by the folks that issue the dollar.
I understand. But, Andrew, why would they? Because say if the dollar is on a blockchain, the Fed and the IRS, they don't want you just shoving $1 billion over to somebody in Costa Rica on your stick.
Right.
They don't want that. So why would they allow the dollar ever to become a blockchain thing? I mean, that would be suicide for the dollar, wouldn't it? I mean, you wouldn't be able to track it like you do now.
That's about as far as it would go.
What do you mean?
The suggestion that we're going to develop this separate, distinct Bitcoin-based monetary system.
Oh, separate from the dollar.
Correct.
No, that's not going to happen.
People would be able to choose. But, I'm not going to store my wealth in dollars. I'm going to store them instead in Bitcoin.
Right. But again, why would the dollar people ever do the blockchain? You say they're going to hijack it.
Yeah.
Why would they do that? Because isn't that would be a detriment to their tracking in a sense?
No, I don't think it would be a detriment.
Oh, because they would get in. They would have access to the. Okay.
Correct. No, they're the issuers.
Yeah. They're the issuers. They would have access to everything.
Correct.
So if you sent $1 billion to Uncle Tony in Costa Rica to buy a opium farm, they would know it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right.
And more importantly, they'd be able to track it. So the very things that give Bitcoin its value, its anonymity, its lack of trackability, and its wide acceptance, and its complete divorce from the regulatory and...
Mm-hmm. So when they indict you, they would have better records. Okay.
Where's your doonch? That's right. You definitely needed it for that one.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I get it. So yeah. I see. So here's what I don't understand, though. So I have three different tabs open. Now listen to these headlines.
Mm-hmm.
Goldman Sachs says Bitcoin is not a fraud. Plans to begin trading within weeks.
Yeah.
Second tab, Bitcoin goes physical. Swiss startup launches a pilot sale BTC banknotes. Okay.
Jesus.
Okay. Now here's another one. Billionaire Thiel unveils broker-dealer venture for major crypto traders. You know Bill Thiel,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the boys. And so those are three right there. Why would these globalist dudes, bankers, be piling on if they don't like it? See, I'm confused.
Chicanery runs amok.
What do you mean?
The ability to steal using this technology? Oh, my goodness.
So...
Their ability to write long contracts and short contracts and to yank it around.
So the bankers are loving it.
They've got to be salivating at the point. So that before there's a crash, there will, of course, be an inevitable run-up. And... You know, those that are foolish enough, and my thesis is that a fool and his money are lucky enough to be together in the first place, never mind quickly parted.
Mm.
So to me, I just find no substance and no value in Bitcoin, and I can't recommend it for long-term savings. You know, I could say to someone that's serious about storing their wealth for the long term, hey, I'm thinking about what my money is going to be worth when my grandchildren finally get it 25 years from now. Well, I can say with absolute certainty that a gold or a silver coin will have value 25 years from now. I can't say the same thing about Bitcoin or even the Federal Reserve note. So for me, it's all about substance. If it has substance, it has value. If it doesn't have any substance, physical substance, then its value is dubious. It's my problem with fiat money and the Federal Reserve System in general, and it's my problem with the cryptocurrencies. I don't want to pick on Bitcoin because I think there's got to be 2,000 of them now, different the figments of different imaginations, and people putting their wealth piling in like somehow... This has substance. There is no substance, and that's the number one argument against.
But boy, I tell you what, Andrew Goss, remember you and I owned about 500 of these guys together 6 years ago. Sure wish we had them today that were stolen. Right?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's water under the bridge.
I would have sold them so long ago.
That's right. We never would have kept them.
We never would have kept them. No,
that's,
not a chance.
True.
I would. First gold coin that came by, I would have said.
You would have said, okay.
Cash that sucker in. Give me that. Kidding? I got a chance here to buy an 1867 gold dollar in proof. One of 36 made. I don't care what happens to these Bitcoin. Convert them into money and let me buy my gold coin of fixed... limited supply.
If we have new listeners, I caught Andrew at a weak moment. It was like 2012, right? And I was talking to Bruce, the guy who was a Bitcoin guy. And I think it was a dollar or something.
Yeah.
And I said, Andrew, well, why don't we just each buy $500 worth? He said, well, okay. You know, he was
$500.
He's a reluctant guy. So we bought him and we put him somewhere, and the Mt. Gox was beginning to explode. And we had some advice say, well, why don't you move him over here to someplace? And we did. And the next thing you know, poof.
They were gone.
Poof, yeah. They're gone.
Well,
and the guy just stole them. The guy stole
them. For me, this is the problem, and always was the problem, with Bitcoin. When I put $500 into gold coins and put them in my safe, then I know they're there. And
my underwear is still there, and it's underneath my underwear drawer, right?
That's it. Yeah. So I never took possession. You held them the whole time. So
well, I didn't hold them. I was there was some Bitcoin stupid bank that I didn't know where they were.
Change and it just it demonstrates one of the many pitfalls of owning a cryptocurrency.
Right.
You are never truly in control, ever.
And then so I emailed this guy, I said, where's our Bitcoins? And he said,
it's all there, black and white, clear as crystal. You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
That's what he saw.
That's what he said. But to be fair, if Bitcoin in those days would have hit $10,
we probably would have sold
it. I would have sold it. I'm telling you. I would have held it. I have no confidence in the fundamentals of value in this entire system.
Fundamentals.
So don't care what it's worth today. Don't care what it was worth yesterday. Don't care what it might be worth tomorrow. Will it be around in 20 years? Is the most important question.
Mm-hmm. Well, probably when Donald Trump does an EO order that you can be more than 8 years, he'll probably be around in 20 years. I'm just kidding here.
No, you're right. He could declare himself a dictator. I heard that Obama's going to do that. And I heard that George Bush was going to do that. And I heard
that's funny.
It's like every single president is going to upset this and become president for life.
Just my compliments, writes Bruce. Bruce, a most excellent show. Special thanks to Andrew and his blow by blow, the H41. And thank you, Patrick.
Good.
Excellent hospitality. Well, yes.
I agree with Bruce because it's kind of fun. You're a guy who takes these little chats you and I have, you store them, you make them available to people to listen to at their leisure. There's no cost. I got to say, you are a very hospitable person for doing that.
Well, we try to be hospitable.
There are folks out there that want to charge for information, and you share it readily and freely.
We're hospitable.
Yeah.
You think socialism work? Okay. A haircut costs 5 bananas and 2 eggs in Venezuela. This thing is not. I don't know. There's going to be a revolution.
Yeah, that's what happens.
That's what happens.
At the tail end of it, the people revolt.
Mm-hmm.
And they look for some substance for money.
Mm-hmm.
And gold and silver have always been the safe. We're back on base. We're safe. We have gold or we have silver.
This would be kind of fun if you want to just talk about this for a minute. This is a great article. One of the 6 most terrible trades in history.
Mm.
This is cool. Remember Search Giant Excite? Back in 1999, the second largest search engine behind Yahoo. And Google's founders, Larry Page and Sergey Brin, offered to sell the startup to Excite for $1 million. then they lowballed it down to $750,000, and they didn't buy it. And that could be one of the worst decisions in history.
Could be.
Here's a good one. Time Warner merger with AOL.
What a mess that was, right?
That
was, yeah.
$260 billion. To now $20 billion worth, and one of the worst mergers and acquisition deal in corporate history.
Mm.
Blockbuster rejected the offer to buy Netflix.
Yeah,
that's just classic, isn't it? Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we didn't buy Bitcoin.
And we didn't buy Bitcoin. How about this? Here's a good one. Ron Wayne sells his 10% stake in Apple. Well, you hear these stories all the time, right?
Right.
It would now be worth like
a jabillion dollars.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had my own story. I remember I once had 100 shares of Whole Foods at $6 in 1983, or once they first went public. Of course, I didn't keep them either.
No, this is
the
problem. See, this is the problem.
You got to have the big V.
It's the accumulation. Don't speculate.
I know.
Quit moving into this or out of that. You look at an investment. You decide if it has any fundamental strength. And then you accumulate whatever position you want to take. And you forget about it and move on to the next thing.
That's what Warren
does.
And
you diversify your portfolio.
That's what Warren does,
right? These people
that
are constantly hopping around. And to me, it's always this way. They decide they want to sell their coin portfolio at the worst possible time, and then they bought it at the worst possible time. So I bought it because I heard it was going up, and now I'm selling it because I heard something else is going up. It's accumulate, not speculate. So instead of just moving your money around from asset to asset, just buy accumulated position. I'm going to get 10% in this and 5% in that and 20% in that.
Stay there.
And stay there.
Like Warren says, you know, you don't care what anybody else thinks.
Right.
You know, if the stock goes down, buy more.
Well, yeah, because he has a fundamental notion of value.
Right.
As you boil it down to the fundamentals, no matter what your investment is, and you decide, do the fundamentals of this investment make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And if they do, well, then you buy. And if they don't, look for something else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And for me, you know, I found my fundamentals in gold and silver, American.
No, I didn't know
I've
that.
Just, well, I'm telling you
I
for the record.
Didn't, I didn't know
I've,
it.
I've looked at other asset classes and other types of investments. All are fraught with peril. What I'm thinking about is, what is money going to be worth 10, 20 years from now? When I'm too old to do anything except barely move, I want to know that I'll have the ability to take care of myself. I won't become a ward of the state because I didn't put aside a little some part of my labor when I had the opportunity. So that's my swing thought for you golfers out there.
Right.
Whatever your swing thought is, get rich from this stock investment. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen in rare coins, that's for sure. You're going to get rich slow. You accumulate your pile, and then when you stop at the end of the road and value the pile, or when you pass it on to the next generation, most likely it's going to be worth way more than it was when it was purchased in the first place.
So you don't recommend buying a $20 gold piece, and then if gold goes up $400, selling it.
No,
no, don't
no,
do that.
Do
yeah,
not.
Don't
no.
do that.
Nope.
Don't do that. Because you buy, you have commissions out and in.
Oh, goodness.
You know,
yeah.
you're just going to get clobbered that way, right?
Right. As I've said many times, many clients have heard this. And they say, well, should I sell it, Andy? I say, well, the only person that really makes any money there is me. I mean, you just bought it a few years ago. Now you're going to sell it. So I made my commission, and now you're going to break even or maybe make a few bucks. Once you've covered the spread, the difference between buy and sell, and your coin has appreciated to the point where it doesn't owe you anything, now you've broken even, all of your gains beyond that are 100% yours, and they compound. So when Salomon Brothers, rest their organization in peace, when they did their rare coin survey over a 30-year period, an average compounded return of 25.7%. It was over 30 years, folks. If you think you can buy coins this year and sell them next year and net 25.7%, not going to happen. Don't even put the thought out of your mind. People have said to me, well, Andy, I've got a little money to invest, and you know, I'm thinking like a 1 or 2 year time period. What should I do? And I say, well, take 5% of that total, write me a check for it, and then forget the whole thing because you'll be ahead. The only person that'll make any money there in a 1 year coin investment is me. Look, and the broker. That's it. Nobody else.
So, yeah. I mean, if you're on a game show and you had to guess, say, 10 years from now, I mean, you really can't even conjecture
cycles being what they are.
Yeah, I mean, with gold, I mean, what
but
the 10
years
would
from
be
now,
10 years.
Yeah. I think you're easily looking at a double. And in my heart of hearts, as my friend Ken says, you can't hide from that.
Mm.
I know there's a very good possibility that we could be adding a zero to everything 10 years from now.
Just
like
because of the way the money
poor
is.
Poor people in Venezuela.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It, you know, if this president and other presidents behind him are going to continually double the national debt every term, the Fed has no choice but to go along and create as much additional money, regardless of what GDP growth is.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to engage in some ridiculous scheme like a basic minimum income, where we're simply going to create money and give it to people, then the value of the dollar is just destined to continue to slide a little bit each year. It's almost imperceptible year over year. But as you look at it over 10 years, pull into Starbucks now, what are you paying for a triple latte? $5. $5 for a cup of coffee. Lunch in New York City, $100. If you don't have $100, don't bother. Because by the time you order two entrees and leave a tip, you're spending a $100 bill.
I think I paid they have a theater now in Dripping Springs, so I went. It's been a long time since I went to the movies. I think I paid $11.
Just for a movie ticket?
No, yeah. I mean,
and you didn't even buy popcorn yet.
No, no. And the last time I bought a ticket. I think it was like six or so. It's been
right,
so long.
Right.
You know, well, popcorn is $2, $2.50 or $3.
My
like
first
that.
Concert mm-hmm. was an Eric Clapton concert.
Yeah. Now you're.
And I paid $8 for a ticket.
Now it'd be like $800, right?
Yeah. Trying to get Clapton seats today. Yeah, exactly. Hmm. So you see the point there. Inflation over the long term is built into the system. And if you want the type of investment that you don't have to watch on a week-to-week basis, I mean, that is another beautiful part about gold and silver coins, not to get off on a sales
pitch.
Yeah, well,
that's okay. You can go fishing.
Yeah. You put them in the box mm-hmm. and go fishing. Exactly. As long as they're secure, you don't have to read the stock tables every day to make sure, you know, some fraud hasn't occurred with your stock or somebody hasn't robbed the treasury and run or the product hasn't been recalled. You know, all of those things that you have to constantly watch in most traditional investments, or the neighborhood went to hell, whatever. With your gold coins, your silver coins, you could just put them in the vault and forget them. That's the beautiful part. You don't need constant analysis. Make your fundamental analysis going in. How many are minted? How many are graded? How many are known? How many have appeared at auction? What's been kind of a price for the last 5 or 10 years? And if you can just do those fundamental things, which for me, that's my job. I don't just pick coins out of a pile and say, here, take them. For me, I do this fundamental research. How many are minted? How many are graded? How many are known? So as these things are very, very important in a supply and demand market. So if you do that research going in, and once the fundamentals are in your mind, okay, I'm convinced this had a low mintage, low survival, and nice auction records. So I'm buying it, I'm putting it in my safe and forgetting about it and looking for the next one. That's the strategy. And to be fair, it can also be loads of fun, you know, the thrill of that hunt. And where else can you spend money and save it at the same time? I mean, really, there's a certain thrill to buying something no one else can own. And we do it all the time. We get something 1 of 5, 1 of 10. You think about it, you know, in a world of all these billions and billions of people, you're 1 of 5 people that can own this particular thing. And it's what draws folks to that very expensive art. But, you know, I have to spend $40 million to get 1 of 5. In the coin market, the most expensive coin is an even $10 million. So it's in its infancy. And as we, as an industry, start to sort out how many were made and how many survived and how many are graded, we're starting to see numbers that are surprisingly low in certain areas. Coins that we thought might have existed 1 or 200, we're discovering exist 10 or 15. Each time a coin is
cool
certified,
is right.
They keep the population. You can track it yourself. You can see it yourself. It's all transparent. That's what really makes this a better investment than 90% of the synthetic trash that they're pushing out there.
Andrew Goss, Patrick Timpone, a couple more things, and then we'll go. We had talked about Kim Jong. You made a couple comments last week, and Nancy writes in on the show last week, maybe Kim Jong, well, he should have studied the U.S. government's treaties with the Native Americans to see
how
good the guarantee is that we will not attack North Korea. Wow.
Oh, you good. Are so right there.
That's a good
there.
Point, isn't it?
Yeah. The you know, the Native Americans were moved to the Black Hills there in South Dakota, the most inhospitable, horrible country. And, you know, oh, you could stay there. That's yours. Don't worry about it. Oh, wait, we discovered gold there. You guys are going to have to move. I mean, that's just as simple as it was.
Yeah.
It's all yours until we discover a better use for it, and then we're throwing you off. So
boy, what bad juju that is. I don't want one of the United States going to pay for that one.
Oh, we're still paying for it.
Yeah, still.
We'll pay for it. Bad juju, man.
Not good.
Not responsible. Not responsible.
Who were the presidents going on when all that was happening?
Oh, no. Huh? You're not going to bring that up.
Well, I mean, who were they?
Andrew Jackson.
Oh, that's right.
The Trail of Tears.
Well, I like him less
started
now.
On his doorstep.
I like him less now.
Well, no, that was his deal.
Yeah.
That was his deal.
Nah, I don't like him anymore.
And a lot of people, of course, agreed with him. Like, get these people off of our lands there. You know, we don't
what?
Like yeah.
Off of our land?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah. Yeah, they discovered it. Yeah. Yeah, you know, when I was a kid, some of my friends used to discover car stereos in other people's cars.
Oh, they did.
And yeah, mm-hmm. and they called it something else.
Look, I found my stereo in that guy's car.
I discovered it.
Okay.
Did you know it was there? No, look at that.
David from Toronto writes, thanks for the Real World of Money show. I love it. Andy has often stated on the show that in an ideal situation, government should not legislate a minimum wage.
That's right.
But allow the market to determine this based on the productivity of its workers.
Correct.
Here is an example of a large corporation turning down a living wage study for its employees. One of their arguments is that the wages should be determined by federal policy. From Andrew. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, low-ball shareholders reject living wage independent board, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, they love to hide behind that. You know, well, we're paying what the minimum wage is, so we're perfectly within our rights. In truth, if they could pay less, they probably would. And Kanye West caught a little bit of grief for saying slavery's a choice. You remember that? I don't know if you've been following that.
No.
Yeah, Kanye West, one of my least favorite artists of all time, said, oh, he's behind Donald Trump now, which, of course, got my attention. And I wanted to hear what Kanye had to say. And he said, slavery's a choice. And because that other conservative black commenter woman, forgive me, I forget her name, was basically saying to the Black Lives Matter people, you know, you're complaining about slavery. You weren't a slave. You never were a slave. Your parents weren't a slave. You're a rich American. And for you to complain is really a terrible thing to do. And so Kanye came to her defense and said, yeah, you know, for me, I think slavery's a choice. Well, I'm just throwing this out there for Kanye in case he might be listening. Frederick Douglass said, the limits of tyrants are proscribed by those whom they oppress. So the homestead strike, the people that tolerated the low wages and the slave conditions revolted. They rose up and said, we're not going to work for this. That's where strikes came from and the entire labor union movement. It's also what was injured by the free trade policies that the industrialists convinced Congress and the people that we should enact. And the way to prescribe the limits of tyrants in this country is with a strong border and tariffs. And those two things will force them to pay what they need to pay to get their workers at a fair rate. You let them make their products offshore where they can exploit workers and then import them into this country with no tariff. And that's exactly what they'll do, as Ross Perot called it, a giant sucking sound.
Giant sucking sound. Well, the president's approval ratings continue to go up. There was a big study done by the Media Research Center, and they looked how each of the major broadcast networks covered Trump from January.
Unbelievable.
90% of the comments about President Trump on these programs
are negative.
Over 1,774 minutes, they looked at this stuff.
Sure.
Roughly one-third of all evening news is the whole thing.
Bashing
President Trump.
Yeah.
Unbelievable that the globalists have this kind of control. I don't know why I should be surprised being in the media for 50 years, but, man, they got him covered, don't they?
They do. They do indeed.
Dude.
But never before in the history of America, never before, including counting at the beginning of the Republic when this sort of journalism was popular, have the people been so aware that the media is biased?
Yeah, they really know it, don't they?
They are biased. This is not the news media of your father's generation. This new news media,
they know it,
makes the news. They decide what the news is and what kind of spin they're going to put on the news they report.
Mm-hmm.
So it is absolutely disgusting circumstances for these people to call themselves journalists. Is an insult to journalists everywhere. They need to put a stop to it and just go ahead and call yourself
they're
what
just
you
talk
are.
Shows, you know,
opinion makers.
Yeah, they're opinion. Yeah, they sent president sent somebody over to see old North Korea dude Kim Jong
Pompeo,
and he brought back three prisoners.
Yeah, which no one has been able to get. Well, like to be fair, they were Two of them, I think, were taken under this president.
The president knows how to deal, doesn't he?
Yeah,
knows how to
he
do
does.
Deals.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
And we should be giving him credit, but instead, our popular media is just bashing him at every opportunity they get. Melania Trump rolls out an initiative. What was it? Be the best?
Have you seen? Yeah, I've heard
of
it.
So, you know, I've talked to young people throughout my career, and they ask me, so, you know, what's the secret? I say, well, it's a simple thing, really. No matter what you decide to do, know more about it than anyone else, and be better at it than anyone else. Strive to be the best. No matter what you do, if you be the best floor sweeper, you be the best auto body grinder, you be the best at what you do, and you will rise. That's it. So I think that's very wonderful. She's not saying I'm going to help you. She's just saying be the best. I think that's a wonderful thing to teach our children. Strive for excellence, not a participation trophy. You want to win. You want to be the best. Oh, we've not taught our children that. It's, oh, participate and help others. Yeah, no. This is not kumbaya. This is not socialism. This is win. Now, not win at all costs, but win. Win with ethics. Win. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with having that attitude. Be the best. Now, you would think that she would get some kind of accolades in the media. Not
yeah,
even,
no.
Nah, just, oh, don't be ridiculous. Be the best. And I've already talked about that number of covers that Michelle Obama with her, I don't know, what was that initiative that she unveiled?
I don't know.
I don't know, a rehash of President Kennedy's Council on Physical Fitness. She told him to move. That was her advice to America's young people. Get up and move. Yeah, all right. That deserves 24 covers. And her husband gets a peace prize. This president actually brings peace to a war that's been going on since 1952. And they don't even give him credit for that. No, it wasn't his doing. That was something else. And then his wife with the Be the Best initiative. Zero magazine covers. Zero mention. She's not someone worthy of looking up to. I don't know, folks. It just seems biased to me. So give credit where credit is due. Many of my liberal friends have said to me, well, hey, Andy, I'm starting to see what you're talking about with Donald Trump.
Oh,
okay,
really?
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm giving him a little credit. Great. Mm-hmm. You're open-minded. You'll do that. That's what it's supposed to be. Okay, he's had a year. What do you think? How's he doing so far? I think he's doing great. Some things I would change. Some things I wouldn't do. Some things I disagree with. But overall, yeah, I think he's doing a great job. And if we just get the heck out of his way with this phony nonsense, what the heck? He paid a prostitute. Okay. Why are we calling her a porn star? Let's call her what she is. We're trying to manufacture something. I'm actually offended by a lot of that. I don't think previous presidents have been held to that same standard. But he's got three to go, so we'll see what happens.
We spoke a little bit last week about Netanyahu and saying he got this whole stuff on Iran, right?
Did you watch that presentation?
No.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, you ought to watch that. I mean, talk about, like, got them dead.
So you think he's right?
Believe that the Iranians continued with their nuclear program, even though we paid them hundreds of billions of dollars with a promise to continue? So their president said yesterday, well, if you guys back out of the deal, I'm going to tell my scientists to go full speed ahead with the nuclearization. Really? I thought you stopped.
Well,
what do you mean full speed ahead?
Just makes sense. If you're the Ayatollah, what's-his-face, and Netanyahu is over there saying we're going to blow you up with nukes, you think you're going to stop building nukes?
Well,
I wouldn't stop.
Then don't tell me you're going to stop.
Well,
don't sign
why not?
An agreement.
If some president's stupid enough to give you money and you sign a thing.
Well, there you go.
I mean,
and
really?
There you go.
Come on. I mean,
that's what President
Trump
said.
That's what President Trump figured out.
That's it.
That's right.
So he's not going to be stupid enough. And, you know,
Kim Jong Un. Why would you believe these guys?
Right. Says, you know, just please don't invade me. That's all. Just don't, what was it? Don't tase me, bro. Because he believed that this president would actually take some physical action against his regime.
Well,
that's what he believes.
Well, I don't believe that Iran are being bad people because they want to have nukes. Everybody in the world's got nukes and they want to nuke them. I would have nukes too, man.
If I was one in Iran,
wouldn't you?
I think if they just took their nukes and built nukes and stayed out of everyone's way, maybe it would be okay. But, you know, the death to America, death to Israel, death to everyone that opposes our, and the, you know, we're going to...
Yeah, but, the CIA is doing the same thing.
Well, I don't know. Installing democracy around the world? Like, we're going to insist that your women drive, or we're going to... I mean, we don't, believe it or not, we don't do that. As much as we talk about human rights violations, we really... Don't.
No. Yeah. This came in this morning. Last week, you were talking about Netanyahu. Remember where the bogus claims of the Iraqi yellow cake uranium came from? Mm-hmm. You'll realize how little credibility Netanyahu has about anything. As a Jewish American, I refuse to his claims that he represents all the Jews in the world.
I agree. Yeah. He probably doesn't. But the intelligence that the Israeli intelligence apparatus assembled and then showed to the world is pretty powerful. And for Iran, all they would have
so
to
you,
say
you
is...
So you think it was real, huh?
That was, like, comprehensive. And right down to, this is the building, these are the CDs, this is the stuff. You know what they did? What they've always done? The Israelis hacked into their capability and probably compromised a few of their scientists and revealed to the world that what we thought was an end to their nuclear program was in fact not an end. And they'd had no intention of ending their nuclear program, even though they took the money and signed the agreement. So that's what it's really all about. What Nancy said, a previous comment, the director of North Korea should know what kind of an agreement would be enforceable against the United States. You're going to agree to do something, they're not going to live up to it. Well, why would we expect any less from Iran? So I'm not surprised. I don't know if President Obama actually believed that they had changed their way of thinking, but their state-sponsored terror is widely known. I don't think that's a stretch.
No, probably not. So I don't know what this is about. So this will make the puzzle even more fun. Mm. John Kerry's out there testing the president for getting out of the Iranian deal. Do you know who John Perry's being being paid by?
Oh, who's he being paid?
The Plowshares Fund, which is funded by George Soros.
George Soros.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, check this out. Peter Thiel.
Yeah.
One of the original dudes in Faceplant,
right?
He has a company called Relativity Tech that was built by, CIA funding that was sold to the Gov to verify the Iran that doesn't have nukes and all this, you know. So, I mean, this is like the HBO thing Billions, you know. It's like, it's just muddy and muck and who knows who's screwing who and who's holding whose hands, man. It's just geopolitics and players on everywhere. I mean, so what is Soros's... Where's he coming from with this, you think? You wonder?
Well, as I said, Soros's position on the earth is entirely paid for by the boys and the folks that run the monetary system. So his...
He's their guy.
Their pit bull. Yeah. He has been for the longest time.
Mm-hmm. So, and so he funds things that they want.
And knocks down things that they don't.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So for him and Peter Thiel to get together doesn't surprise me for a moment.
That's right. Patrick, you asked Andy what is his best prediction for gold and silver prices. Will you? Oh,
will I?
Maybe we'll do that next week. You can give it some thought. He wants to know what you think about what gold and silver is going to be by the end of 18. We usually do that every year.
Yeah,
let's do that next week.
Bored.
Yeah, we got bored. After a few years ago,
easy,
Andy was advising to buy gold when the price was around 800. What was the reason that gold increased too quickly that year?
1900, yeah. Well, August of 2007, when the interbank...
Oh, I remember. Yeah. So he says, by the way, I followed Andy's advice that year and made a lot of money, so thanks to...
Thank you.
Thanks to Andy. So I remember that, yeah.
Even a stop clock is right twice a day. Mm-hmm. So in the case of speculating on the price of gold, that what convinced me that year, and this was 2007, was that the interbank rate, there was lockups in the trying to borrow money. When Bank A wanted to try to borrow money from Bank B, there was none available. And so this is what led me in the spring of 08 to start talking about the fall tsunami, because the pressure was building. There was not enough money to pay the obligations. And, you know, we find ourselves there once again. There's three times as much debt as there is money to pay. And so this tightness, this pressure is starting to build within the trade market, within the finance market, and the interbank rate is starting to rise, and interest rates in general are starting to rise. So this tightness of money really has me worried once again. And who knows how it'll end this time, but I believe that the Fed will once again come to the rescue and do some more quantitative easing in any form necessary. That is beyond question. They will not allow the system to collapse.
They're going to be the Lone Ranger and High Yield Silver and just come on in and
come to the rescue.
Come to the rescue and not take the punch bowl away, as they say.
That's what central banks are supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I watched this is fun. You'll like this one. I watched the current issue of our current episode of Billions on my Prime.
You saw him hand over that crypto
Yeah, that's
stick?
What I was about to say to you. Yeah. I thought you'd like that.
And what was the purpose of that, Patrick?
Well, the purpose
to make a hidden payment.
To make a hidden payment.
To make
payment
a quiet payment.
Because
right.
This guy kept, what's the guy's name?
McPhee. He said, yes, he did the transaction
and
for
kept
the district
out of
attorney's
jail,
wife. Right.
Right.
Just because he liked her.
Yeah.
She didn't know anything
about
it.
Great episode. Great stuff. Great
stuff. Right.
So he gives him $1 million worth of cryptos on a little what do they call it?
Memory stick.
Memory stick. He said it was just memory stick.
Yeah. And, you know, it was an easy, illicit payment that was off the books that no one could trace.
Yeah. I really like that.
Quiet.
I thought about you when I saw that.
In cold storage, like it was on that stick, the money itself.
That's funny.
The value transferred.
What does that mean in cold storage?
It means it wasn't part of an exchange the way that your bitcoins were, where they could be taken.
Yeah.
The actual digits and the money were on that stick. Not in an exchange somewhere.
Right, where so they didn't even have that technology when
Well, no, in those days you would have had to print them out.
Right.
You know, write the numbers, because that's all a Bitcoin is, right? A series
of numbers, right.
And numbers and letters.
So doesn't that make them more safe, because you could actually store them on your little stick that you put in your pocket?
Yeah, no, that's what he was saying. That the money's on this stick. It's not deposited in an account somewhere. It's $1 million in crypto is how he handed it to him.
So the problem with the illicit part of it for the crypto maniacs is that McPhee, who's on this story, it's a great thing, by the way. If you have Amazon Prime, watch
it.
It's worth the watch. So you could put that little stick in your pocket,
jump on
a 727, fly to Moscow, or go wherever you want, plug it in, get your 10,000 per crypto, download it into, I don't know, rubles, you know, and buy a castle or something.
Correct.
Ooh, and nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Wow.
And you don't have to pay couriers to convert, take your cash, deposit in a bank, and then get money orders. And then pay somebody to take those money orders and leave the country. You know, every time you get on an airplane, what do you have to declare? Do you have more than $10,000 in cash? Well, no. Well, if I find a bunch of money orders in your luggage, you're going to jail. So instead of having to sneak it and hide it, you could just like walk right on the plane with that stick in your pocket.
Yeah, nobody knows. So, but isn't there a transaction in the McPhee thing in Billions last night, cold storage on the stick?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there a record, Andrew, of somewhere that X Capital had to move that $1 million to cryptos?
Nope.
How could they do it without it being trackable?
Well, the preferred method has always been cash. Cash. So he couldn't very well hand him.
But you can't buy cryptos with cash.
Oh,
can you?
In the right exchange, you most certainly can.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How could you do that?
You assemble them just the same way you would. So if you
and then you send them, or you send them.
Yeah, you aggregate them in one area, and hand over the stick. So there are exchanges around the world.
People do that?
Yes, there are. You can buy these things in small quantities. And
Or you can buy a stick for cash.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Wow. Boy, that is problematic for the, you know, the tribal people, right?
It is the bulk, and I will say it again, the bulk of the transactions in that cryptocurrency world are illicit transactions. You know, things you wouldn't want the world to know about, such as a $1 million bribe.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't want the world to know about it or have the ability to track it or trace it.
Right.
You'd want it to be as clean as it possibly could. And that's what what was demonstrated. This is the prime purview of the cryptocurrency world. The illicit transactions, the way we first found out about them, right, was on this Silk Road thing.
Yeah, that's right. That's a guy that they caught doing these illegal drugs on the dark web.
Sure,
and
using these cryptocurrencies as a method of payment.
And to this day, the feds have not been able to crack his wallet, which has $25 million. And he'll never get out of jail unless they give him the code. And the guy's still in the big house.
That was the other thing that I don't know if you noticed when the doctor in this episode of Billions went down.
Yeah, yeah.
They had the bank statement. Oh, here's your exchange statement that shows this account was opened for you, and there's $11 million in it. So you made this illicit transaction in this security and made $11 million, and here's the evidence of it. And, of course, when we present this at trial, you're going to jail.
Yeah.
But, and we're going to seize the money. But if you plead guilty, I won't even try to claw back that $11
million. Yeah.
In other words, I'm paying you a bribe of $11 million. You got to do 5 years in jail. That's about $2.5 million a year. How many people out there would say, okay, I'm going to go to jail for 5 years for $11 million?
I wouldn't.
Some people would. Ben.
Really?
So
I wouldn't do it for $50 million.
Well, some people
would. I wouldn't do it for $100 million.
Well, whatever that number
might
be.
I wouldn't do it
be.
For $1 billion.
Careful. You've got a number. And we've determined now. That you've got a number. What's that old saying? Now I know what you are. Now I'm just trying to figure out the price.
That's that old joke, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's funny. Yeah.
And pretty poignant considering our current news. You know, this is.
We won't even go there. Well,
yeah, well, can't help it.
I just saw a thing. Well, I don't know. Is this a degradation of our culture? Is it really going down? Check this out. Here's the top 5 websites in the world. We know what they are, right?
Google. Facebook.
YouTube. Amazon. Mm-hmm. Yahoo. And you know what the next 4 are?
YouTube.
No.
Owned by Amazon.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Go ahead.
X videos, porn. Pornhub.com, porn.
Yeah.
NXXX, porn.
Porn.
Porn. Porn. Porn.
5 minutes after the internet
except
was invented.
Porn.
Somebody. 5 minutes after the film was invented, somebody was filming pornography. It's like the lead, that seems to be the area that people gravitate to. And again, I'm offended by this description of this woman as a porn star.
Is that what they call her?
I find that's what they call her.
Porn star?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have a word for it. Why use something different? We know what a prostitute is. Let's just call her a prostitute. And apparently one that, when paid, won't even stay bought. You know, so you think you bought. No, sorry.
Well, the latest is Stormy Daniels' lawyer says the Russians paid Trump attorney Cohen $500,000. That's a
new
one.
No question about it.
New one. Now,
I don't think there's any question that Michael Cohen has been collecting payments. He's a fixer, for God's sake.
He's a fixer.
People,
he's like
you
my
have
Uncle
to understand
Tony,
what a fixer is.
He's a fixer.
That's his job.
That's
he's a
he
fixer.
Does. That's what he does.
And so he's paid to fix things. Now, whether a Russian pays him to fix something or Donald Trump pays him to fix something, that's his job. Here, go out and fix this. Find out what it's going to take to make this go away and how much it's going to cost, and then I'll pay for it. That's what I do.
That's what they do.
That's, fixer. That's a title. It's a job. Attorneys take it because they know how to navigate the law and fix things.
Is that why Bill Clinton had to hire George Soros? Yeah. I took a lot anytime of fixing to fix that dude stuff,
in,
man.
In that sort of a circumstance where someone's trying to extort them. I mean, isn't that what this is, right?
Of course it is.
It's not like, oh, I'm injured by your, you know, it's like, oh, I've got dirt on you, and if you don't pay me, I'm going to extort you. I'm going to tell the world about your dirt. That's extortion, plain and simple.
Of course it is. Of course.
And then it's no like extortion. It. Okay, now I've extorted this money from you, and now you're either going to pay me more or I'm going to extort you again. I'm going to tell the world that I extorted you. Then we got to hire a lawyer. Why isn't the criticism and the focus on that? I don't understand. This is like, you know, somebody extorts you. You're supposed to be able to go to the authorities and have them put in jail. Extortion
well, you know, that's
is
true,
a,
too.
It's a horrible really? Crime. It's huh. horrible. Huh. Yeah, so hmm. for us to not only legalize it, but celebrate it, why? Well, because we're going to take down a president that we're so biased against. That's absurd.
It's really amazing stunned. What's going on in plain sight, too. And boy, yeah. it's just, yeah. and they're just not going to let it go, are they? I
mean,
it's,
no, they've got something. It's raw meat, Patrick.
Yeah,
it's
like chum
it's
in
a
the
sex
water.
Scandal.
Right?
Yeah, everybody. Ooh, man. Ooh, everyone's paying attention. They want to see their photos. They want to, you know, just, it's a juicy scandal, and that's why they have it and they're holding it so hard.
Speak of photos, we're gonna end with this because this might dissuade some of you guys. And girls listening, but we wouldn't have it in our audience, of course, in sweatpants in the basement, hacking things. Don't want to do this. Paris Hilton, remember that story?
Yeah.
Okay, so some dude hacks her thing, I don't know, something, and put out nude photos of Paris Hilton, right?
And Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah,
and
guess what?
A bunch of others. Yeah.
He just got 60 months in the big house.
Yeah.
So don't do this, people.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah, you shouldn't be digging around.
No.
For money.
No.
You know?
People want to get naked and take pictures and stuff. It's stupid, but that's their business, you know?
Yeah.
Don't go hacking those pictures.
That's right.
Don't do that.
And then once you find one, don't contact them and say, unless you pay me, I'm going to release these.
Not good.
Bad juju.
Not good farm. It's
bad karma.
Not going to end well.
Bad karma.
We don't recommend that here on One Radio Network.
That's not a way to make a living. And hiring a lawyer and making yourself a... even the Saturday night skit with, what's his name, that Alec Baldwin dude.
I don't have TV,
man,
so I
don't
get to watch
I
that.
Don't care if he makes the best movie in the world. I won't watch it. He's just sunk to a low that
a lot of them
embarrassing.
Have, you know,
it's embarrassing.
I read some of the stuff that this guy, Jimmy Kimmel, and these other people, John Kerry, they're just...
And then, boy, you pry into their personal life and suddenly, oh, that's off limits. No, we don't want to talk about my personal life. No, that's off limits. Don't drag my spouse into this. The double standard, I hate to see someone else's misfortune, but this Eric Schneiderman guy, the district attorney.
Did you hear about that?
We're going to add him to another long list of Democratic hypocrites.
Here's a guy who was prosecuting Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's got four women
publicly
saying,
this is terrible behavior, while in private he's conducting himself in the same manner. That is just the height of hypocrisy. Keep your mouth shut. If you're that person, what was that, Steeny, well, you know, one who lives in glass houses should not throw stones. Yes.
It's so interesting how karma works and how it's coming back more quickly, you know, like the Beatles song, Instant Karma. It's going to get you. And all this stuff keeps rolling out, and it's happening more quickly on planet Earth now.
Is it about the New York District Attorney? I think the office of the New York District Attorney is permanently tainted. I mean, look at him, who's gone before. Elliot Spitzer. You remember him?
Well, you don't get to be the New York District Attorney unless you're
Attorney General.
Apparently,
you don't get to be the top law enforcement officer unless you're corrupted.
Unless you're Paul Giamatti of billions. I mean, you know, you don't even get the job.
Yeah.
That escalated quickly.
It's getting out of hand.
I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
It'll do it. I don't think I want to be Attorney General when I grow up.
Yes. Or federal judge.
Our federal judge. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Apparently they're corrupted.
We just had totally too much fun today.
Yes.
And when we
have
put
we
the,
not offended anyone?
If you
weren't offended, please send us an email.
Send us an email. So. We'll work on you next week.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have the correct link to the correct, sorry
H4-1
I did that,
release.
The H4-1 release on the show page. Yep. We'll also do the link to the latest, well, it's 10 years old, but the owners of the Federal Reserve.
I'll make a new one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then you'll be able to pass on this podcast to everyone that you care about and wants to learn about money. Andrew, we love your work. We love you. Thank you for your time. And give us your number there in Hoboken or Hawthorne, New Jersey.
I keep saying Hoboken.
I keep thinking of Frank Sinatra when I think
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, just you're movie down the
mogul.
Road there.
You're a movie mogul now.
Yeah, right.
And when's the premiere of the Four Presidents?
That and 11 bucks will get me a ticket to Four Presidents.
When is the Hoboken Film Festival?
It is. The premiere is on May 19th.
Oh, you mean like 10 days from now?
Yeah, 10 days from now.
Man, I wish Doodle and I could
Cindy
be there.
Cindy was asking me yesterday, what am I going to wear?
Yeah.
Well, the conflict for me is that it is also my darling daughter, Cynthia, the baby's 30th birthday.
Oh, well, have her just come up to the film festival.
Oh, you know, would do anything to be with her that day. I'm actually contemplating blowing off my own premiere just to see her.
Well, see, most of the stars do that, so it just make you more popular if you just blew it off.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
And for that reason, I would.
You know, because it just makes you more popular, you know?
As everybody else.
Your kids should
come first. I read yesterday, while I'm taking shots, that the president is going to take $7 billion out of the childhood health insurance program. And people are offended. But I always thought it was my responsibility to provide for my children, not the government's. So I'm not offended. And that's kind of the way I feel. The kids come first. I'm sure there are millions, if not billions, of parents out there that would agree with me on that point. But at the same time, there are millions of parents who believe in free-range child rearing, where you just let your kids run wild.
Kind of like free-range chickens, right?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. If you've heard about that lately, that's... Not me. You know, my kids and their friends were my business. What they were doing was my business, and I made it and kept it my business. The idea that, oh, you can do what you want in your room or talk to whoever you want. No, not at my house. My house.
My business.
That's right. My business. That's exactly right. And parents, I urge you to make your kids your business. If you do, we'd have a lot fewer of the societal ills that are plaguing this nation today. Show them you care.
I'm glad my Uncle Tony didn't have cryptos. He'd still be in the big house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You have to give up the cryptos to get out. That's kind of the deal.
Hey, Tony, why'd you... Nah.
I caught what Blankenship said. He was that oil executive, the coal executive that they... sent to jail in West Virginia, and then he ran for the Republican primary. He said he lived when he was very young in the poorhouse. You know, they were very poor growing up, and then he had many houses in between, and most recently he lived in the big house.
The big house.
Yeah, and the poorhouse and the big house taught him everything he needed in life. The other houses in between didn't matter. So there's certain character building in being poor. I wish every rich person would... have to be poor for a minute just so they could see what the other half lives like.
Well, compassion is a wonderful thing. If you'd like to talk to Andrew Goss, his number is 800-468-2646. Wow, 3 hours. I'm hungry. I'm going to go have lunch.
Amen.
And I will see you real soon, Mr. Goss.
Bless you, brother.
And bless you. We're going to talk to Dr. Thomas Cowan tomorrow. The heart is not a pump, guy. We're going to have fun with that. Before that, we're going to do some soul mind-body thing. I got some cool things to give you insights on in case you're interested in having a better life, and that might be fun, and we'll do that tomorrow at 9 o'clock in the morning. I love you all very much. Thanks for your ongoing support.
From the Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.